The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, it's interesting to look at the numbers for electric vehicles because the news I gave you before the break was that we have surpassed our targets for 2025 in terms of the numbers of EVs. But does that mean we're on target for 2030? I'm not sure. Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, joins me now. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's the good news then for 2025?
Yeah, so the good news is in the Climate Action Plan that the target for 2025 was 175,000 EVs. Now, this is battery electric and plug-in hybrid, the two combined. And when the Society of Irish Motor Industry announced the July car sales, they announced that we had actually surpassed that target. So that's where we are at the moment.
OK, so 175,000 EVs, and that's the basic electric vehicle, but also the PHEV, the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, we've done that. But the target for 2030 seems more elusive.
Yes, so that's basically 845,000 private passenger EVs. So that's your car market. Now, on top of that, there'll be about 100,000 is the target again for commercial vehicles. But the bulk of it is passenger cars. Now, when this was actually devised in 2019, it was estimated to be about a third of the car market. So that's where that figure came from. But Pat, I'm not sure it actually came from anybody thinking about how we would actually achieve it in terms of sales. It was just 2030. Yeah, we'll get to a third of the car fleet. So that's what the plan is. But I mean, realistically, then what you're looking at, even if you take in the fact that there will be car sales, electric car sales, obviously at the end of this year, you know, the second half of this year, then there's leaves 5 years basically to sell over 600,000 EVs, which is a huge task.
Now, what needs to be done, obviously, the charging infrastructure is something that is always being talked about, because unless you can, as you're on the road going from Dublin to Cork or Donegal or whatever it is, know that when you pull in somewhere at a charging point, that there will be capacity, that it won't be jammed up with electric cars and you're stuck there for 40 minutes waiting for a charging point to be freed up. And that's the difficulty. The more popular they become, the more likely that scenario is to unfold, unless there's massive increases in charging capacity.
Yeah, I think this is the biggest stumbling block, to be honest, Pat. And I think there's a huge amount of money going into it. But there's a core buyer who will not go EV and will not even consider it unless they can go across the country with the same ease, convenience and speed that they can in a petrol and diesel car, that they can do that. Unless they can replicate that journey and that convenience in an EV, they're not going to be convinced. Now, there is there's a lot of targets for the end of this year that they do seem on track to be meeting, the government do. And, you know, things that are crucial are the every 60 kilometres along the national route having fast chargers, you know, the high speed chargers. They're absolutely essential because it's those long journeys where you do not have time to be wasting. You need a very fast charge. I mean, the other charging point, the other chargers that are slower are great at destinations, at restaurants, at cinemas. We need to see more of those. But definitely the high speed are what is needed on the national route. They are in progress. But again, this is really the big stumbling block, I think.
Now, the question of the PHEV, and I've always described this as like an electric vehicle with training wheels, because you have the comfort in the back of your mind there will be a petrol station regularly along your route, wherever that is, city, town, or on the motorway system, you'll always have the ability to refuel. But most of your motoring, if you're, you know, driving locally, will be electric, and you might not put in petrol into your PHEV for weeks or months.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, these are included in the EV targets. So basically anything sold with a plug is including plug-in hybrids. Now, the interesting thing about plug-in hybrids, there is research to say that people do go from a plug-in hybrid to an all-electric. It gives them a sense of charging and all of that. But I think what's interesting with the market at the moment, Pat, is we actually see quite a significant increase in plug-in hybrid cars in comparison to the last few years. So therefore, what that would suggest is people do want to go electric, but the infrastructure is holding them back. And again, as we just said, that seems to be the big stumbling block, because I think that's why people, I mean, it's not cost. When people are buying plug-in hybrids, they're not cheap. If you compare the cost of an EV to a plug-in hybrid, you're basically talking about the same price. So cost is not a factor. So therefore, it would appear to be range and infrastructure that's holding people back. And that would explain the increase in plug-in hybrids.
Now, the electric car for the urban dweller seems like the obvious solution. If you're going to have a car at all in the urban environment, the electric car is great because you're only doing short trips. But for many people, they can't charge because they don't have a front driveway to park their car. You may have seen that picture from Germany where they have curbside chargers where the curb stone has been replaced by a charger.
Yeah, I mean, we have to get more creative about that, because especially when we move into people buying secondhand EVs, they won't have the range that's offered. I mean, the range that's offered on new EVs will do you, most people, for 2 weeks drive. It'll take you across the country and back and there isn't an issue. But if you're depending on a secondhand EV, the chances are you're going to be charging it a lot more. You know, we're penalising people who do not have access to charging points at their house or driveways. And also it's the cost of it as well, Pat. I mean, if you're relying on the public charging network, we saw an increase in ESB rates last week. You know, it is a lot more expensive and it's virtually on a par with petrol and diesel. So, you know, that needs to be addressed.
Now, the question of high-speed charging and range are key, because if, for example, we're worried about charging infrastructure and fast forward, say, 15 years and we have very high-speed chargers along our motorway system, but also you charge at home and you've got 800 kilometres in the tank, as it were, in the battery.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go anywhere and back in Ireland on that.
Yeah, I mean, Ireland is probably perfectly designed for EVs in that sense. If you look at the width and breadth of the country, it's not that far. And yet that's what we're moving towards. And we're moving towards those sort of ranges very, very soon. And, you know, and that will make a huge difference, because so many people I've spoke to over the years have said, oh, no, I won't go EV until that sort of range is on offer. And that would be enough to convince diesel drivers. So, you know, those sort of changes and those sort of improvements are coming down the line. But there's still an awful lot of work to be done with the infrastructure, because there are still people who do high mileage that will not be convinced. And there's the convenience factor as well.
Now, what about importing EVs? I mean, the EV is generally mechanically quite simple. And, you know, obviously you check the brakes and do all of those routine things. But, you service that car. It can be done very quickly by a technician. Every so often you need maybe a more major look at the thing every maybe 2-3 years. But routinely there's very little to be done. So what about importing those and warranties being carried from territory to territory?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways we can tackle this target for 2030. One of them, obviously, is to sell more cars every year. You'd need to be getting up to about 150,000 a year, which is probably unlikely to happen. The much more easier route, as you say, Pat, is if we had more imports. And if we look at the UK market at the moment, I mean, I think 25% of their new cars sold for 2025 are electric. So they will have a huge source of used EVs that we could avail of. The problem there is post-Brexit, it's not nearly as attractive to import a car from the UK. Now, okay, there's VAT there's VRT reductions if you're importing an EV, but there's still VAT, there could be customs, so it's still an expensive thing. So I think we need to look at a policy to support used EV imports, warranties, all of that, in order to encourage that, because that is something that could make a difference to our targets.
And of course, the other thing is to encourage companies to have fleets of EVs, because many of the secondhand cars come from fleet cars, which are retired on relatively low mileage and in good nick. That's petrol and diesel. So we don't really have fleets of EVs that can feed into the secondhand market.
Yeah, the fleet market is a hugely important market that the government really needs to get behind and to support, because not only, as you say, does it feed into the secondhand market, but it's also, these are the cars that spend the most amount of time on the road. So you're getting far more bang for your buck if you're making those electric, the same way as supporting taxi drivers, because they cover huge amounts of mileage. So it makes huge sense to actually just put a lot of money into encouraging companies to go electric and to support that move.
And anyone who's been in a taxi that's an EV, and typically I've seen a lot of ID4s around, VW ID4s, and they're very comfortable vehicles to be in as a passenger, as a taxi passenger.
They are, and taxi drivers are great for telling you about the benefits of going EV and converting you. So, you know, they're good ambassadors as well. So there's great idea. You know, it's a great idea, really, to get as many taxi drivers as we can to go EV.
Now, you mentioned the way the figures are improving. Petrol for 2025, 26.9%. Hybrid, 22.7%. Diesel, 17.3%. Electric, though, almost level with diesel on 17.08%, and then plug-in hybrids coming in behind at 14.71%. So between the plug-in hybrid and electric, it's almost 32%, which is a third of the market, and that is very encouraging in the trend. But let's look at the general run of models that have been top-selling for July. Who's doing best?
Yeah, so the top-selling new car in July 2025, and remember, July is the new January, really, yeah, with that split, Reg, is the Hyundai Tucson. In terms of electric cars, the car you just mentioned, the Volkswagen ID.4 was the number one. In terms of car brands year-to-date, the best-selling have been, this is now generally all different market engine types, Toyota, Volkswagen, Hyundai, Skoda and Kia. And then for top-selling EV brands, it's Volkswagen, Kia, Hyundai, Tesla and Skoda.
Okay, so Tesla, the only sort of EV brand on its own there. Volkswagen, of course, is becoming an EV brand increasingly, but no sign of the BYDs, the MGs in the top five yet.
Not in the top five, but certainly in the top 10. BYD is making, you know, big inroads there in terms of sales. Tesla, the sales are quite interesting in Ireland because, again, it's bucking the European trend in the sense that sales are down across Europe, but not in Ireland. They seem to be completely unaffected by anything else that's going on with Tesla. Yeah.
And the biggest buyers of EVs, presumably the capital having the biggest population, also the biggest buyers of cars.
Yeah, urban areas basically are where EVs are being bought. There is some signs of growth in rural areas, but predominantly it is. And it's a pity, really, because in rural areas, people are more likely to have driveways and they're more likely to be able to charge at home. And for that reason, you know, they're ideal. But I think there's a whole cohort of rural buyers that need to be convinced that they will have the range that they require on an EV. So there's a big education and awareness campaign there needed.
Now, I mentioned that the more expensive the car, the longer the range generally. So what can we look forward to? How far away are we from 800 kilometres?
I would say very soon, to be honest, Pat. We will see cars, that certainly this year, with that sort of range, yes.
Okay, and then in 3 years' time, that car will be in the second-hand market and will offer itself as a bargain to somebody. Anyway, Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, thank you very much for joining us. Now, some of the comments coming in. If someone buys a brand new EV, how much value will it lose in 2 years' time compared to a new petrol or diesel car after 2 years? All you got to do is look it up. There was time where people were talking about batteries and batteries wearing out. That talk, I think, has diminished. I think you will find it hard to get a really great bargain in an EV based on the comparisons. I seldom need to charge at public charging points. Charging at home is 9 cents a unit compared to about 59 at a public charging point. That's from Liam. I think it might be more than 9 cents. Anyway, it's definitely preferential to charge at home. I have a hybrid self-charging petrol electric. It's really great. When I got it, I cut my petrol fill from once a week to once a fortnight. It's very economical for urban driving and does the job long distance. I would buy one again in preference to a full EV. That's from one listener. Another one says, I bought my first EV in January of 2017. Since then, I've never looked back. The most I've ever paid for service is €180. I can charge at work, saving me about €3,000 per annum on fuel for the petrol car. I had been commuting 400 kilometres per week. I don't have to stand in the lashing rain and wind pumping fuel into my car.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.